minds and our souls to the reading of God's word. Ephesians 2, 11 to 22, the word of God. Therefore, remember that at one time you Gentiles in the flesh called the uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision, which is made in the flesh by hands. Remember that you were at that time separated from Christ, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. Oh, but now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made us both one and has broken down in his flesh a dividing wall of hostility by abolishing the law of the commandments expressed in ordinances, that he might create in himself one new man in the place of two, so making peace, and might reconcile us both to God in one body through the cross, thereby killing the hostility. And he came and preached peace to you who were far off, and peace to those who were near. For through him we have both access in one spirit to the Father. So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole structure, being joined together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord. In him you also are being built together into a dwelling place for God by the Spirit. Let's pray. Our great God and Heavenly Father, we have just read your holy, inspired, divine word given to us that we may know of your truth, that we might know more about you today. So we pray that even as we just read, your Spirit may be in this place, building us into a temple where Christ is our cornerstone. May that be built upon your word. Lord, I pray for myself that my words would be carried to these dear, sweet folks here, that you would carry these words and they may transform hearts and minds, not by my power, but by your power and by who you are. It's in Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen. This morning, I want to go about this text asking a series of questions. And you'll hear those questions as we go along. But the first question that I have, or a series of questions that I have for you this morning, are these. Have you ever been alone? Have you ever been isolated? Have you ever been separated from all that you think or know or feel is normal and right? Have you ever had the feeling that there's no one that can help? No one cares about you or your needs. One poem I ran across this week as the Lord was asking me to go down this path, I came across this poem. It's an anonymous poem. I don't know who the author, but one stanza says, "Search and search for someone who cares. Anyone who understands, anyone who dares." For some in here this morning, this is a daily struggle. And this text today will speak at the very heart of those feelings. For others in this room, that's more of an abstract concept, this feeling of alienation and separation. But I think for all of us, in some way, shape, or form, we understand being separated, being alone. Or maybe another way of putting it, we understand anxiety, or we know alienation and separation. I want to give you a story from my own life. When I was about 12 or 13 years old, in between my 7th and 8th grade years, my family had an opportunity to travel to Scandinavia, Norway, Sweden, Finland, Iceland, Greenland, all of these wonderful places. But we also had an opportunity to travel into the former Soviet Union. And at that moment, we were going to Leningrad. And as in every country, as you well know, you have to give passports and visas to the people that are allowing you to enter into their country. Well, here I am, a 12-year-old boy. entering into the Soviet Union and all my fears of what the Soviet Union was or could be or could do to me, I thought were now becoming a reality. You see, at that time, when you entered into customs, they isolated you, they separated you into a room all by yourself. Now imagine this, or put yourself, or maybe if you are 10 or 11, 12 years old, you go into this room, and on this wall is a mirror. On this wall is a mirror. On the ceiling is a mirror. On the floor is a mirror. And before you is a guard behind bars. And on this side of you is another guard with an armed automatic weapon. And on this side, there's another guard armed with an automatic weapon, and you're all alone. And you put your passport into this thing like at the bank, and you put it in there, and it goes into the guard, and the guard's looking at your passport at you, and you're terrified. You're trembling because you're sure the guards are about ready to shoot you for some unknown reason. But there you are, alone. You don't have your mom. You don't have your dad. You have nobody. You're all alone. Well, they didn't shoot me, obviously. They let me go into the country, but still, this is a feeling of isolation, of alone, of being separated from all that I thought was right and true. And my mom and my dad, this image sticks in my mind. And it's very clear to me even now as I stand before you. But I think this is somewhat of the emotion that Paul is trying to communicate in these verses here this morning. This idea of separation, of loneliness. Except here, I think Paul is describing something even more frightening and terrifying than have two armed guards staring at you. What Paul is describing to us this morning is this idea of being separated from Christ. Being separated from Jesus, being separated from God, this, brothers and sisters, is the definition of alienation, of being alone. Verses 11 and 12 describe this, a loneliness and an isolation from Jesus Christ. And let us remember that the first portion of chapter 2, Paul is telling us about this salvation, that it's by grace through faith, because in our sins we are dead. And dead things can't do living things stuff. And so now he's reinforcing this point once again for us, that in our sin, we're isolated, we're alone, we're away from Jesus Christ, we're away from God. But this morning, in Ephesians, he's speaking to a Gentile crowd. And what that term means, if you don't know, it's non-Jewish people. Or in other words, us. I don't think there's too many in this room that have much Jewish descent, myself included. He's speaking to us this morning. We are who he is talking about. There was a time in our lives. There's a time in our lives that our sins separated us from the love of Jesus Christ. A time when our sins separated us from the grace and the mercy of our Lord and Savior. If that is true, then emptiness and loneliness for each one of us is gripping. Next question I have for you this morning is this. Have you ever felt alone or separated from Jesus? And before you just quickly respond to that, I want you to let that just settle for a moment. And maybe it's not actually asking or feeling that very question of feeling separated, but maybe you felt this way. God, where are you? Where are you? Why aren't you doing something? Have you ever resonated with that poem? You search and search for God. Why doesn't he care? Have you ever had that feeling that God is just out there somewhere doing what he does wherever he is, but he doesn't really care about me or my family or my pain or my hurt or my loneliness or my separation? Is God just really far away? Of course, I think each one of us in some way has asked that question, or at a minimum pleaded with God, do something. Paul tells us that without Jesus, these questions are very much a reality. Look at verse 12. In our sin, we are alienated from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope. And without God in the world, do you know this feeling of despair? Do you know the feeling of no hope? Is that you today? I thought of an image as I was thinking about these feelings. I thought of an image as I thought about this feeling of despair or loneliness. I had an opportunity once to go whitewater rafting as a kid here in Colorado. And it's a wonderfully exhilarating experience. And to race down the river is a joy, and the emotions and the greatness of the fun is wonderful as you race down these rapids and you're on the edge, you're on the verge of disaster. And then the boat flips. It happened to me. The boat turned over with about three or four other folks in it, right in the middle of the rapid, and the water is rushing and coming, and you don't know if there's a rock underneath you or not, and you're just trying to get your head above water. The current just keeps flowing and flowing and flowing, desperate for a grasp of air. Are you swirling this morning, grasping for a breath of air, wondering if there's any way to shore? Do these pressures of work, to perform, to be that man or woman who you're supposed to be, the pressures of community grab you and pull you under, and it doesn't seem that there's any way out. The stresses of finances drag you under the current without a life jacket. Do addictions, the computer, the bottle, the drug, enslave you in the whirlpool of defeat? I promise I'm not going to do that again. I swear today I'm going to get up and I'm not going to have that enslave me. But at the end of the day, you lie awake in bed and say, oh no, I've done it again. And you say, God, help me, where are you? Paul says this is the definition of chaos. Without Jesus, there is no peace. Without Jesus, life is chaos, or this feeling of drowning. I just can't get out. The whirlpool's currents will always bring you down, and the loneliness and separation will keep you drowning. Last week, we talked about two little powerful words. So if this is you today, hear these words. If this is you on any level, or you know of someone who is in this moment, whether it's addiction, whether it's temptation, or whether it's depression, loneliness, separation, hear these words. Hear what God has to say to you today. Verses 13 and 14 speak loudly and clearly, just like in verse 4 of chapter 2, we have these two wonderful words. Do you see them there in verse 13? But now in Christ, you who were once far off, you who were once alienated, separated, far away, what does it say? You were once alone. You who were once depressed, are depressed, isolated, drowning in the temptations of life and the pressures and stressors of life. You, New Life Mission Church, what does it say? You who were wondering where God is, what He is doing in your life, wondering what are you going to do now, God? Verse 13 says, But now you have been brought near by the blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, what a reality. Amen. Oh, what a truth to grab a hold of this morning if this is you. If you know the feeling of loneliness, of isolation, of despair, grab a hold of these words in verses 13 and 14 and do not let go ever of these wonderful verses. For it is in the blood of Christ you have been brought near. I want to take us a couple different places to flesh this out a little bit more of what this means for us and how you have been brought, how we all have been brought near and how you can be brought near. I want to take you to someone, not somewhere. I want to take us to someone this morning who knows exactly where you are today, if this is you. If you know what this is like this morning or yesterday or you're fearful for tomorrow, Luke chapter 22 verses 40 to 44 is a powerful description of someone. And he withdrew from them about a stone's throw away and knelt down and prayed, saying, Father, if you are willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. And there appeared to him an angel from heaven, strengthening him. Hear these words. And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly. And his sweat became like great drops of blood falling down to the ground. This, of course, is Jesus praying in the garden on the eve of his crucifixion. This, of course, is Jesus who is now alone. His disciples have fallen asleep in his hour of need. His Father in heaven did not remove the difficulty, and his reality caused him to sweat blood. His loneliness, his separation caused him to sweat blood. If this is you this morning, this person, this Jesus knows your agony. He knows your pain. He knows what it means to be far off. He knows what it means to be alone. I now want to take us to the next day. Jesus has been tried. He's been found guilty. Although he did nothing to deserve this punishment. He was beaten. He was humiliated. He was nailed to a cross. He was high and lifted up to die. In the midst of this agony and in the pain, the blood spilled from the crown of thorns, as we sung about this morning. The blood spilled down his face. The blood spilled down his arms. The blood spilled down his feet. It spilled down the cross. And then, in a loud voice, he cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? In this moment, in his dying breaths, Jesus was utterly alone. The one whom he'd been near from eternity past had turned his back and said, you are not my son. Jesus knows isolation. Jesus knows desperation. Jesus knows what it means to search for the Father. Where are you? What are you going to do about this? But you see, it is here in this very moment that Jesus takes those emotions. He takes the pain. He takes the agony. And he remains on the cross. And his blood is spilled for that. That his blood is spilled for your agony, for your fear, for your isolation, for your loneliness. You see, Jesus became alone so that you wouldn't have to be. Because of this shedding of blood, as Paul says, it's in Christ Jesus' blood that you have been brought near. It's in this moment of Jesus' separation, of Jesus being far away, that we have been brought near to God the Father. And as Tommy said at the outset of the message this morning, do you know what it means to have access to God the Father? You have been brought near, is what Paul says too. The curtain has been ripped in two. We now have complete and full access because of what Jesus did on the cross. Because he took your fears, your isolation, your loneliness, and he nailed them to a tree. And he brought them to the grave and he left them there. There is no wall between yourself and the creator of the universe, God the Father. We don't have to drown in the current of isolation any longer. We don't have to fear loneliness. Depression does not have to define us. Despair does not have to define us, but rather we can have rest. Jesus says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Or as Paul says here in Ephesians chapter 2, he will give us peace. Paul then in verse 19 gives us the result of this action. He gives us the result or the so what of this text. He gives us the reality of we are no longer alone. We are no longer strangers. We are no longer that 12-year-old boy, an alien in a foreign land. But rather we have a community that belongs to us. A beautiful thing about your tradition and your history for many of you is your sense of community. You know what this means very, very well. And Jesus says, not only do you have a Korean community, not only do you have a church community, but we have a community of all the saints past, all of the saints now, and all of the saints that will ever come. This is our family. We are not alone. This is a treasure to comfort our loneliness, to comfort our despair. It's because Jesus accomplished this. But if having a family and a community is not enough, Paul goes then further to describe an even greater reality to help us in these moments of separation and isolation. The reality is that because of what Christ Jesus has accomplished on the cross, we are being built into a temple. And the temple has as its foundation Christ Jesus. What is the temple? Do you know the significance of the temple? What is the temple? The temple is where God resides. It's a building where God himself inhabits, takes root. Brothers and sisters, Paul tells us that you and I and we are the temple of God, where Jesus Christ is the foundation. Are we alone today? The answer is a resounding no. Why? Because Jesus gives us the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit of God himself indwells each one of you to help you fight the loneliness or to feel near or to be near God the Father. When the temptation comes, we know we can rely on the Holy Spirit to remove us from that situation. Can you pull up your bootstraps and get past that? No, but by the power of the Holy Spirit, the one who lives in you as the temple of God can. Are we alone? No. Because the Holy Spirit indwells us. We are swept into the arms of the Savior, where he calls us brother, where he calls us sister, and the Holy Spirit indwells each one of us. Brothers and sisters of New Life Church, it has been a joy to preach to you. It has been a joy to get to know you. And I hope and I pray that I will be able to return, but I'm glad the Lord has brought you a pastor. But my prayer this morning is that you would find these words comforting. That whatever the future holds for you, the Holy Spirit goes before you and with you. You're not alone. May that be a comfort. Let's pray.